you sick of giving me your money?
Oh, it's... Oh, I know he didn't do it, baby.
Hold on a second. Whoa, where you going?
No, I'm about to go make these troubles.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Bradley D.L.O. Thomas. I'm a marketing professional by day, poet, MC, producer in the shadows. So I'm going to pass the mic.
Hey, what's up? It's your girl, Opal Alisa. I am an author, poet, MC, and by day, I'm director of multicultural business strategy for a large financial company.
What's going on? It's Corey Dashed Up Whitmore. I don't even know what day it is right now. I wear a lot of hats, so I'm not sure who I am today. I'm podcaster. I'm podcaster Whitmore today. That's who I am today.
Corey, do everything right.
Thanks.
But today we have a very special guest. He's always busy, so I'm glad that he made some time for us. Mm-hmm. He is a father. He's an artist. He's an engineer. He's a pioneer. He's a business owner. He's the originator of Ratchet and Blues. I ain't heard nobody else come up with that type of genre and that type of music. And just dope artist, dope individual, all around. So without further ado, I want to introduce everybody to Chaos New Money, owner of AFGM Media Group.
Thank you. Thank you for the flowers, my boy. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get right into it. I'm very curious because the first time I saw you was like, I think it was like 2007. You was ripping people's heads off on stage. And then you disappeared for a little bit. And then I seen you doing some videos. And then you came up with the whole crew, the AFGM crew. And then it just kind of metamorphosized into like this business, like this media group. So I'm very curious, like what initially kind of sparked you to be an artist?
So that's a pretty deep rooted question, but it's, I pretty much decided when I was young that I wanted to have something to do with music. My grandmother forced me to play the piano. I was always performing and, rapping and freestyling with people and doing all that. And one day I found out that one of my cousins had like a studio in his basement. So I was down there like making beats for people and they were recording to my beats. And then it got to a point where I was telling people like, no, you got to say it like this. Say it like this. And they like, you better than us. And they like, man, you got to tell me like, bro, you're not really that good at making beats. You're a little better at. I wanted to make beats. I didn't really want to rap. But so I kind of got forced into doing that at first, you know what I'm saying? And then, I don't know. I started clicking up with people that I saw that were passionate about it, and it inspired me and it motivated me to want to be passionate about it too. So then after I had children, I was like, man, I can't keep doing this for free. Like this got to be, I got to figure out how to like monetize this situation because I can't just like, there was a lot of people that I knew that had rapped for like 10 or 15 years that weren't making any money. And I was like, I love it. I'm very passionate about what I do, but I can't just do it for free all the time because I got to take care of my children too. So that's when it became, AFGM, and I started to learn about publishing and things like that. And I got so wrapped up in the business side of it that I almost kind of fell back as an artist and really dove into being a producer. And I found out that really that's really my passion. I really like how putting the songs together. I still do music, don't get me wrong. I love to record and do reference tracks and write for other artists and things like that. But the production and all the things that go into making like hit singles and hit songs really intrigued me a lot. So that's kind of where I found my passion and also where it ended up making me money too. So, just kind of went hand in hand that way,
So dope. So dope. Yeah. And I definitely want to get into like the history of AFGM and all that, but I must say, like, I'm so glad that DLO started with like asking you about your artistry. Cause like, I got a whole bunch of friends in this industry because I've been doing it forever, right, within the Madison scene. So don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but you are besides myself because you ain't no rapper if you don't choose yourself first.
Right.
Right? Yes, right.
Besides me, yes. You are my favorite freaking rapper. Thank like you are so just, much. I don't know, you just be saying some stuff. Like I walk around my house sometimes. He was like, make it as fat as Queen Latifah, roll it up like Wiz Khalifa. I hear that in my head. I still hear him saying that. Or he was like, about to go ham Christmas dinner. So y'all, if y'all don't know Chaos, y'all better Google this, man, because you are have been relentless with putting out good stuff for like a long, long time. So got to give you those additional flowers because you just dope. The whole thing, right, from the sound to the delivery, to the beat you pick, just fire. But yeah, so you talked about that business not needing to do it for free and how that switched over. So how did AFGM get started? How did you do that?
Rest in peace to my boy SB. He just I had at the time broken off from, I was with Dax Squad. Shout out to Mac Menace, my cousin, and a couple other guys, and they were making me do like battle raps and little stuff like that. You know, it was just little stuff on the side or whatever. And then I kind of split off from them and decided I was going to get serious about music. And I started to record at different studios around here. And I ran into SB, and we were both doing some type of a contest. I can't remember what it was. I think it was like the first Get Your Buzz Up. They had someone coming here, and it was like LEP, Bogus Boys, and Smokes, and us were all involved in it. And yeah, y'all go look them up. Bats, man, big dog. out of my boy Smokes. And so we met there at that contest, and we ended up, everybody that was in original AFGM ended up winning something that night. So it was like Squeeze and Scatterbrains got first place. I won like a performance in the Fly to New York, and I think Buddha got like third place with SB, a song that they did together. And I kind of known Buddha prior. I didn't know really any of the other guys. And then we just started going to similar studios together, and next thing you know, everybody was like, man, we got to make a group, man. We got to do this. You know, and I wasn't really on like trying to be a group at the time, but I understood the like importance of like moving as a team. You know what I'm saying? And it was cool because every single one of us had our own thing going on. It was not like, you know, I had my team of people and they had their team of people, and everybody was like a big entity of just guys that were taking care of their families beyond just music. You know, and it was like a deeper route to what AFGM meant. So when we finally came up with it, he was like, you know, what are we? He's like, well, I'm like, we just a few good men, you know what I'm saying? So then he's like, oh yeah, AFGM, it sounds right, it fits. It doesn't sound too stuck in one genre of, you know, everybody can be a part of what we got going on. And it became a family because everybody who was involved with it was passionate about whatever it was we were doing at the time, whether it was Sweezy's show or Scatterbrain's show or my show or something for the community, or we were trying, whatever it was, everybody was passionate and came together as a family to do everything that we did. So we just continued to move that way until everybody, you know, had ended up, you know, unfortunately kind of just going their own way. Not necessarily unfortunately, but you know, everybody's doing their own thing right now. Shout out to all of them because everybody's doing well with what their niche is right now, and this just happened to be mine, you know. So I just took the AFGM brand and kind of, I just ran with it.
Yeah. That's what's up. That's what's up, man. So I don't think we've like met like sat down and talked. Like I know as you've been through the studio here with Sheena and we've crossed paths and me being in Milwaukee before coming out here, like some of your shows and flyers would be stuff that would pop up in the feed. When we were looking at like, man, how do we, where do we go in Madison? How do we try to break in Madison? Yeah, we were following a lot of the places that you were trying to go and see, like, oh man, see if we can fit in there.
For sure.
But I think we've both done a lot of similar things, in different areas. And I think like bro, musically you're talented, but you are a great a business mind. And I really respect that, and I really followed that and looked at all the things that you've been able to add on. And I think for a lot of our listeners that are always looking for like those
those business or entrepreneurial things they can pick up. Can you tell us about some of the skills you've learned and acquired now transitioning from the artist to now the person that's running the media group that's not only putting out your own art but managing other people? Because when you tell people like, oh, yo, I run a music group or I run a record label, they look at you as like, okay, I don't know what all that means.
Right. Yeah. So like you said, I wear a lot of hats like you. So I do 4 or 5 jobs at once. And that's where what I think set me aside from some other people is that I was willing to do all whatever work that needed to be done. It was super and it was really difficult in the beginning because nobody really wants it to give you the game and tell you how to do things properly. Right. You got to figure it out on your own. Mm-hmm. So you got to mess up a bunch of times to actually know, okay, I should have done this way. And I should have done this way. But like my biggest advice with anybody is, and what I tell most of my artists too, it all boils down to the same thing. It's like, you gotta be as prepared as you possibly can. Right. So like if there's something that you think about, like, oh, I should do this because this will help me in the future, then you should do it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's small or big or whatever it is, every single day when you wake up in the morning, you gotta do something, even if it's really little, that is towards your goal. You know what I'm saying? Whatever your goal is at that time. And then another thing is like why we wear all these hats, right? Sometimes you gotta break it down. Like, okay, I'm just gonna be producer today, and I'm gonna do everything I gotta do to figure out how to be like the best producer I can be today. But tomorrow, I'm gonna have to sit down and do the publishing thing and figure out how to cross all these T's and dot all these I's on the publishing side. Because when you're trying to do a trillion things at once, you spread yourself a little too thin. I've burnt out a couple times trying to be that guy, you know. And so that was one of my biggest lessons was like, staying consistent, but being prepared so that I didn't have to keep chasing all day long. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, So I mean, yeah, that was the biggest transition for me because there's a lot of roadblocks, man. They tried to shut my business down a bunch of times for not having this and things that I didn't even really know that I needed. You know,
right?
I went from a guy who was in an office to a guy who was in a little bit of a bigger building to going and actually going in and trying to own equity into a building and building it.
Right.
I didn't know. Like, I was just doing it.
Right.
They could say you make it or whatever. I was telling people whatever they needed to hear to get me to the spot I needed to get to. Right. And then I figured it out once I got there. Well, you know what I mean? So
right.
I was playing a lot of chasing around where I should have probably sat down and said, you know, here's the game plan. Let me do it this way. So in the past couple of years, that's really what I've been transitioning into, like, moving properly, you know what I mean?
Just
planning it out, setting it up, stacking your money, worrying about the extra stuff later.
Right.
Always investing, constantly investing all the time.
Where does that motivation come from? Because I find myself as well, like, burning out. Like last December, I was burnt out. I had just gone to Disney with the kids at the end of November. I'm thinking I'm coming back and I'm burnt out. But for people to keep doing it, and I think other people are looking for what is that thing? What is the motivation that says, yeah, I'm on my last limb, I'm burnt out, but I'm still going to come back tomorrow, show up at the studio, show up at the office, and then start to grind again? Right. Where does that come from?
For me, it comes from my grandma always used to tell me, like, man, it could be worse than this. Like I could have to work somewhere where I hate going to work every day, hate being around every single person that's in the job, just depressed because I don't really want to be here. It's not really what I want to do. Right. But that being an entrepreneur, you have to remember that we do work a lot harder than most
people. Yeah.
We also get something called freedom. You feel me? Freedom is what success is. You can't like put a dollar sign on success, like say, oh, $1 million and I'm successful.
Right.
$1,000 is success to somebody who has $0. You know what I'm saying? But to us, we couldn't even probably pay our rent for that month off $1,000. I think about like success is like freedom, right? To being able to say, like, tomorrow I do not want to go to work. And I need a second to myself. Mm-hmm. And you can do that technically.
Right. Yep.
Without like losing everything. You know, some people don't have that choice. They have to go to work tomorrow. They're going to lose their job. Their kids aren't. They got to go to a place where they struggle. I love to go to work. Even when I don't want to, I'm an hour into it. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm here instead of doing something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah,
like that'd be my motivation, because if I slack and I fall back, then I could lose what I love. You know what I'm saying? So it's really that, and my kids, you know what I'm saying? I'm a father before anything. So
right.
I'd be wanting to, you know, I'd be wanting to be the cool dad. So I got to make sure I got it. Mom, you know what I'm saying? I got to get the bag up so we can go, you know, take it to Disney World and stuff like that. That's really what it's about.
Right,
but I don't know if I'd care as much if I didn't. I could, because I'm good. I've been in bad situations. I'd go live in my car if it was that serious. You feel me? I'd be doing it for the shorties. You got to make sure they, you know, see that you can get it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's my motivations. Really, is those two things.
Yeah. Man, you dropped a lot of jewels right there. So I mean, to our listeners, I hope y'all got a pen and paper and pad, and you write down some of these notes, because a lot of people ain't gonna tell you this. Like you were saying, you got to experience all that. So I appreciate you sharing that with us.
For sure.
Speaking about the kids, you do the back to school giveaway. You've been doing that for 4 years now.
Yep.
And you linked up with 93 Jams, right?
Yep. DJ Fusion. Shout out to DJ Fusion.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So what kind of motivated you to want to do that? Just kind of give back to the community and give them the tools that they need to be in school, or
The first year that I did it, I just remember, like, you know, we struggled and stuff when we were shorties, and we had a hard time getting certain things. And I noticed that some of the kids that were coming to my studio at the time were their parents were like asking me something about, you know, oh, is there a drive? Like, somebody doing a drive or something like that. And I was like, man, it's just like, I was just like, man, we should do a drive. Cause like, I had a good year that year. So I was like, man, I should give back, you know, whatever. Cool. And it's cool for my kids to see me doing that too, to kind of,
absolutely,
you know, giving them that type of, you know, whatever, for them to see me doing that, whatever. And it was cool because so many people around Madison, you know, like Black business owners and all over, were coming together and saying, hey, I want to get involved in that too. And that inspired me, because I was like, dang, I didn't, you know, it was just me and one other guy at the time. Shout out to Larry Hansen. He's he owns a couple of CBD shops, and he had like a limousine shop. He's an entrepreneur out here. He's done a lot of things too. So shout out to him. But it was just me and him at first, you know, and it just grew and grew and grew. And then Christmas came around, and that's really what the Christmas thing really touched me, because like I had just went on Facebook and said, you know, I know it's hard for people this year. So I, you know, y'all send me a couple messages of some people who need something, and I'll give them each like $100 to Walmart or something, so they can go get their kids some food or whatever, or some toys or whatever. And like, Later on, like in January, I remember being somewhere like Subway or Walmart or somewhere, and the girl walked up to me and she hugged me and she was crying. She was like, "If it wasn't for you, like I can't even have had a Christmas." And I was like, "Man, that's crazy.
That's beautiful."
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It touched me. So I was like, "Man, next year, I'm gonna raise a bunch of money and I'm gonna go and, you know, try to do something for the community." And Fusion was like, "Yo, that's a great idea," because he was like here, he was just chilling. He just put up some money on the strength of his heart. Like, here we go. Here's 200 towards it. You know, for the
gift or whatever. Right.
Backpack giveaway. And then I started to talk to him. I'm like, yo, I want to do a Christmas thing. And he's like, yo, definitely let me get involved. So I got to make a huge shout out to Fusion, because this being our fourth year doing it, Fusion brought the whole city. Like, when I say he had we raised $40,000.
Dang. Nice.
This year.
Wow. That's incredible.
Up from me bringing $1,000 out of my pocket.
Right.
Him putting up $1,000. So us being able to connect with like 400 families, you know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
Me like, man, you made my kids Christmas. Thank you so much. Like that just be hitting my heart, man. I'd love to be able to even do that. So it just gets bigger every year. And Fusion really, really put his foot on the next this year, man. Cause he just reached out to so many people and made it so big. And people just love to, you know, once you get successful, especially if you're somebody like us, like, you know, I didn't really have a lot growing up. I'm not going to say that I was necessarily poor, but we didn't grow up in like the best of conditions. We needed help too. So being able to give that back when you have it is an amazing feeling. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I look forward to it. And we make it an event. It's fun. The kids come and have fun. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know.
Right, they just come in
and having a good time, and then mom and dad leaving with some gifts, and they get to go wrap it up. Like, nobody has to feel weird about it. They don't have to say, "Oh, we have to go to the thing to go get these gifts for you." It's like Santa brought them joints, so you know, you're good. Like, it's just a good environment, man. I loved it, so it was cool, man. I love
that's the OP.
It's dope as hell.
I love that, especially just that piece. I think that you said just the piece that has the empathy of like, let's not make it weird, right? Like, it's a good time. Like, the understanding of having that be an event where nobody feels singled out, nobody has to feel ashamed of that. I think that's the piece that so many so many people who are trying to do philanthropy are missing, right? Because it does feel weird, and you do have to feel ashamed. So I just love that you are doing it that way. And that's like a key component too of guests we bring on the show, right? Like, you've got to have some sort of business acumen or something, some understanding when it comes to financial literacy that you can offer our listeners. But you also have to have your give back game be strong, because we are so rooted in that understanding that, like, that's why we do this podcast, right? It is about community. It's about lifting us up as a people. So again, shout out to you and Fusion for doing that. That's amazing. And I just feel like you expressed, like, in hitting that 40K this year and it continuing to grow, like, the power of partnerships, right? And how much that is and how beneficial that is to any business that you do. So I think you're really good at that. You also spoke on how for AFGM, you still keep in contact. And I know all y'all are successful in different states doing amazing things. Sure. So how have you been able to nurture those relationships and continue to have partnerships that are authentic and powerful as you've grown and continue to evolve as a businessman?
For sure. You know, and I know you know this, but keeping the relationship strong is a big part of being able to do business, right? Networking with certain people. I always break it down to, you know, I can break it down to some street shit. It's like we outside and, you know, somebody selling dope or whatever the situation is. And you can't just walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, bro, I'm really, really good at selling dope."
Right.
I got to know you. I got to know your background. I got to see the person you are. You calling me when I need some. You slide, "Hey, bro, I got you. Don't trip." And now we've built rapport with each other. I know what type of person you are. Like, it's the same thing. I got people, like, connections with people that work at Capitol Records. I see on Instagram, it's their daughter's birthday. I call. I shoot them $100 on Cash App. "Here, this is for Haley. You know, happy Merry Christmas."
Mm-hmm.
You know, happy Thanksgiving. I just try to be the person that I would expect people to be for me. You know, I don't have time to reach out to every single person. You know what I mean? But I do let people know. Like, I'm thinking about you every once in a while. Like my cousin just passed away not that long ago, and he worked here with me. But one like super high quality that he had is he always reached out to people. Like, it didn't matter. Like, what, he'd just be like, "I'm checking on you, man. I'm checking on you. I don't want nothing. I'm just checking on you, just seeing how you doing." And like, people loved him for that. They really, really loved him for that, because he just was checking. He didn't really want nothing from you. You know, if you only call on people when you want something from them, it tends to get in the type of situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel
that's
like
a gem right there. Yeah, that is a gem right there.
So yeah, just keeping the relationship strong and just checking on your people, man. Check on them. You don't always got to sit on the phone for 3-4 hours. You don't always got to pull up to the crib. Just a simple text message. "Hey, I'm thinking about you. I hope you're doing okay. Kids good. Family good. All right. If you need me, you want to talk, I'm here. Here's my schedule." You know what I'm saying? And that's just the type of person that I am. Like I said, I can't always reach out to all my friends all the time and sit on the phone all the time, because, like, I am busy. I got stuff to do, but I do try my hardest to keep close relationships close and let people know, like, I am, you're on my mind. I'm praying for you still, you know, all that good stuff.
Man, that's what's up. The music business is always, I always say that it's relational, that a lot of your success is dependent on the relationships and the things that you have. For some of our listeners that may be in a, you know, like a B2C business where they're dealing with customers, how is that lesson of checking up on folks, making sure they're good and building that relationship, how is that, how have you applied that with, like, customers coming in? With most studios, it's
that's the basis of it. Right, I feel you. So it's crazy, because that's huge, man. Customer staying in contact with your customers is a big deal. And when I come here, and that's why I always say, like, I try my very hardest to stay in good spirits and be keep my vibes up when people are in here, because I know you come into the studio and you ready to, you want to make that record, and you know, I'm trying to match that energy with you. Mm-hmm. So you feel good about coming back. Right. And so when you come in here to do your record, you know, I'm going to treat it like it's my record too. Right. So mm-hmm. I try to, my biggest right. thing, man, one thing I learned, man, is when people come in here, I turn my phone off. I put it over there. So that's my girl will be taxing me about something, making me mad. And now I'm doing this during your session.
Right.
Yeah. You want to record it again, bro? All right, here you go. Instead of being like, all right, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay in more with you. So mm-hmm. I try to be personable with my clients and like, let me know, like communication is really the key. Like I talk, when they come in here, hey, and they ask me, well, what do you think I should do? I'm giving you my opinion, but we're going to do whatever you want to do, baby. This is your money. I'm on your time. You know, so I just try to stay open.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? I'm open. I'm like, you know, I'm on your time. I'm on whatever you want to do. I'm here for you, you know? And I do shoot out text messages every once in a while to clients that I maybe haven't heard from for a little while. I do understand, like, the studio is like you know, it's an up and down thing for some people. Mm-hmm. Some of them take it very seriously. I got clients who come in here religiously once a week. I mean, like clockwork. And then I got some people that I won't see for 6 months.
Yeah.
And they just pop back up, you know. But I do try to stay in contact with them and let them know, hey, I got you. We just upgraded this. You know, always, you know, shoot out an email and let people know and personalize it so it doesn't seem like it's a huge mass. Mass email. Personally, say, you know what, it's been a while since you recorded. I remember the last joint you did, it was fire. Let's do another one whenever you're ready to go. I don't do that as much anymore though, because I'm like uber booked, and then you just made me think like, man, I should probably send out.
but that was a common theme. Like, it makes me think of the interview we had with Keon talking about customer service and that relationship and that interaction, and how that's so important.
Shout out
to the bottom line, man.
My boy. That's my boy. I love doing business with that guy. He's a good dude. He did all my merchandise, by the way. So shout out to DLK Printing.
There. Oh, that's what's up. That's
dope. Company. That's dope. I recommend them 10 out of 10 every time.
It's proven right there. What he said on the episode, we got a happy customer right here.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, you know? that's a beautiful thing. So I'm assuming, based upon what you just said on how you deal with customers, how you deal with people in general, I like how you have this a subscription-based studio session model. Mm-hmm. So actually, I've never seen this before. So is that, like, how did you come up with that? That, like, something you was in now, like, oh, I need to be something for people who are always coming in here and give them a little bit, some extra. Was that the thought process behind it?
That was kind of what it was. I had like two or three clients that were just, they were always in here and they were asking for deals. And I was giving them a deal because they were booking so many hours at a time. But the biggest thing was that my studio specifically offers a lot of accommodations, right? Because like, I'm a black owned business and I'm on a busy street, and I hate to have like people going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out all the time. And we got 6 hours of work to do, 8 hours of work to do. So I tried to make sure everything's here for you, right? With the subscription base, it's like when people are doing 8 hours, I offer food. I have a tobacco license here. I can sell tobacco products.
Nice.
I have pizzas in here. We got vending machines. You know, we have VIP things in here for people who don't have to leave. You want to have a drink or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So that's subscription based. So really where it came from was just, I was listening to a podcast and I think it was like Mark Cuban or something. And he was like, subscription based is taking over the world. He was nice. Like, everything is subscription based now. And I was like, man, I was like, yeah, okay, that's probably how I should like model this. You know what I'm saying? Because people who are constantly coming in here and the prices are like tipsy turvy because I don't really know. Like, all right, here's a base. And the biggest thing, that locked me in on this was people who say how much to do an album. Like
a project, yeah.
Right.
Ever. I don't know. Like, I cannot stress to you enough, any engineer who's listening or producer or whatever, do not get wrapped up in that situation, because you don't know how long it takes to do an album.
Exactly.
12 songs turns into 15 songs, 8 songs turns into 12, 1 song turns into 8 days of mixing. Like, you don't, like, it's so crazy. So what I say is, instead of you doing an album, it would be more beneficial for you to get a platinum membership, because then you could probably finish your album within the platinum membership.
Right.
And now we're locked into a contract where we both know what's going on.
Right.
And you don't expect something from me that you're not going to get, and I don't expect something from you that I'm not going to get. That was the biggest thing, is like communication. Because I had, like, I have like a 90% return rate from most of my clients over the past like 3 years, right? So I had problems with 2 clients, and it was the only 2 clients. It was because I did projects, and they were expecting me to do a lot of work that I wasn't getting paid for. And don't get me wrong, like, I have no problem like helping you get your stuff together. If we got to spend a couple extra minutes or hours on making your sound perfect, I'm cool with that, because I'm passionate too. But you're not going to have me in here doing 12 hours of work for free, and I got kids at home. I can just spend time with my children.
Right.
So that's what got me in subscriptions. Like, it was things like that, to just really help people who wanted to do more for less. Because I understand, man, it's expensive to like be in the studio all the time. So I want to give those deals out, and I want to have the accommodations here. Like, I got a couple black businesses that cater food here. So if you're a VIP member, you let me know. I'm going to be there on Saturday, and I'm going to have 4 of my guys with us, and we want to get this and this and this. I can make sure that the food comes and is delivered during your session, you know, like things like that. So it's really accommodating. You don't have to leave. You get here, you don't have to go anywhere. You can sit down and be at home for the next 8 hours and really get into the music for real, you know? So that's like kind of what that came from.
Yeah, that's so dope. Like, I hear so much innovation in that, right? Because I have, I know that subscriptions are taking over for many, many industries, but I've never heard about that, like, within a studio, right? So, I mean, when you're talking about the food, taking care of everybody, that being all inclusive, I haven't heard of it before. So where do you get the courage to innovate like that? What does it look like for you? Is it a lot of test and learn? Is it just you? Is it, you have a support system of folks helping you? What does that look like to be able to do that, taking it from an idea to something that's real?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's really what it is. Like, right, we all got good ideas, right? The difference is, like, some people, like, execute them, and some people just, like, talk about it. They just have an idea and sits there, and then they just say, I was going to do that, and then they don't do it. So I just be trying it. If it works, it works. Because, like, when I first started, nobody had a subscription. Nobody liked none of that. They were like, this is a lot of money to pay. And I'm like, well, here, let me break it down to you. Because what you're doing right now is you're paying full price. So over this past 2 months, you've paid twice what this subscription is. And then I got to the point where I was like, I don't know why I'm even trying to push this on people, because I'm just losing money every time I'm doing it. It don't even matter, you know, but I'm trying to help. You know what I mean?
Right.
Over the time of me introducing the ideas and it looking cool, you know, I found out what worked and what didn't work, you know, a bunch of trial and error. And I do have people that, you know, I do have a support system that shout out to my mom and my granny. I always kick ideas by them. My cousin, my girl, you know, even my kids, you know, everybody that's close to me, I'll kick ideas like, hey, what do you think about this? And sometimes my ideas are horrible. Sometimes it's like, but sometimes it's good. So I try it out. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know what I mean? I've failed a million times, but it was nothing compared to like when I hit for real. It was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it'd be the kids, like, at least in my experience, like, my daughter be coming up with some genius stuff, or like, they'll just point out something. They're like, it's so obvious once they say it. And it's like, I love that you're listening to the next generation. I assume your kids are also seeing you do your thing. Like you mentioned before, you're able to take care of them, but they're also seeing like the work that you're putting in, and that it is possible to build your own.
Most definitely. Yeah, my oldest son, he just turned 17, and he wants to have a detailing company. So we're going to let him get one of those in the back of the studio so he can set that up. But he's an entrepreneur, too. He don't want to go work for nobody. He wants to work for himself. I'm trying to teach him out. It's difficult. It's hard after. Everybody thinks it's a sweet run. It's like, I went 4 years without making no money, man. Like, that's not fun.
Right.
Or nobody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it was my dream. You know, I followed it. I always wanted to get paid and be involved in music the way that I am right now. So it's beautiful to me at the end of the day. If I don't, because it's like, you know, DLO, you already know that you're like, I'd be doing it if I wasn't getting paid. So
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I had to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So I could, because otherwise I'd just be spending my money. I remember having a studio. I had a studio on the west side, and my girlfriend at the time was like, man, like, why don't you like record other people? Because like, you have a full studio in here. Like, you make no money. So, like, I see you like spend like $5,000 on like a, you know, setup and speakers and you don't record and you don't make no money off it. I'm like, I'm just not. I wasn't in that mindset. I was just trying to record myself. And, I also was, I wanted to mess up my own music a million times so I could get really, really good before I started to tell people, hey, I can record.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
no doubt.
Smart.
Words of an entrepreneur.
Yes, sir.
talking about failing and not failed. I don't know how many times, but I'm getting right back up and I'm gonna try another way.
Uh-huh. For sure. Mm-hmm. So that's what sets you aside, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because I was talking to Scatterbrains the other day. Shout out to him, man. He just signed like a crazy distribution deal with like Slum American or something.
Right. Shout out to Scatterbrains.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But he was like, you got to be crazy to do this. You got to be like crazy to do this, man. Because he was like, people just keep telling you, no,
yes,
can't do that, and you just keep going anyway. Like, that's a little bit of insanity behind that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, you just keep getting your ass beat. You just keep getting back up.
That's right.
But that's the entrepreneur spirit, man. And that's why the rewards be so much, like,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, you paid them dues. Yeah, I got a random question though. I always wanted to ask you this, man, because you used to say it in the songs all the time. You were like, come. I'm like, how you come up with that, man? Like, tell me, like, what was the day when you came up with that? Because I feel like you should brand that and put that on a shirt.
Hey, man, it's crazy. I got it tattooed on my arm like 3 times or something. It's a wild time of my life. But I don't know, man. I really don't even know, because like, I was, you know, I was going through a weird time of my life. I was doing a lot of drugs and I was performing a lot. So I was noticing like the college crowd was super into me talking about getting fucked up all the time. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. So then all my music just started to go that way, because I was like, I got to have show songs, got to have show songs, got to have show songs.
Yeah.
So I was making songs about getting fucked up. And I remember, you know, like, it was just an ad lib at first. It was like, but everybody's like, man, can't nobody say it. Like, how you say it? I got like super, super slapped one night. I was like downtown with somebody. I don't even remember who it was. It was some, not necessarily famous, but it was like a bigger name artist we had performed with. And like, all these people, these random like white kids, they were coming up to me and they were like, say, be like, gone, like, say it. I was like, dang, okay. Why don't you start doing this? I just started going with it. And, you know, I remember I got locked up, and when I got out, people were, my homies, like all the AOGM guys, had it on shirts. And I was like, man, I'm gonna ride this out, man. I'm gonna just start putting all my music. And then it was gone music. Then all, instead of like drug music or whatever, it was just gone music. I was just talking about fucked up all the time. That's kind of, unfortunately, that's kind of where it came. You know what I'm saying?
That's fire though. Yeah.
It was cool at the time, man. I had fun. That was a fun era of my life. But I had to slow down with all that drug use and all that stuff.
It was good. Yeah.
Okay. Getting to me in my age. Yeah, no, that was a good time though, man. Gone was, that was a good time, man.
I noticed too, you doing the Plug Project. So
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Mm-hmm. I feel like you always doing something. I'm trying
to stay busy and keep people engaged and stimulated over this way. But I wanted to I wanted to give like an artist an opportunity to like take a big step in what they were doing, because I like I got all these plugs in these different areas with different people that I know that I can't necessarily use for myself. You know, people who want me to still be an artist, and I'm like, I'm just not, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not that type of artist. I'm not about to be going and doing shows and doing all that stuff. I'm a little old for that. It's personally, that's just how I feel. You know, I'm still release music and put stuff on streaming platforms, but I'm not about to like really be pursuing a music career. Right. So I have a lot of plugs in that area though. And I wanted to share them with people. You know, I tell people all the time, oh, you know, it costs this and this much to do this, and I could put you in this position. I just, you just have to, you know, you just have to pay it for it on your own. Right. And you can have it. Like, I don't need any recognition or anything, but I noticed that, you know, people come in here and spend a whole bunch of money on a project, and then they don't really have a lot of money left to advertise or promote it or to market. So then they don't get to actually see the real results of their music, right? Because now you're discouraged, right? Now you think, oh man, I'm not that good because people didn't vibe to my stuff. But what they don't understand about this is that nobody's gonna see your music if you market it, if you don't promote it. It's just I mean, it's like you drop you off in the jungle with a kilo of cocaine, right? It's like the best coke in the world. It's just worth so much money. But you're in the jungle and there's nobody there who you gotta figure it out how you just a broke nigga with a brick of cocaine. You can't do nothing unless you find the places where people want. So you have to you gotta give a little bit out. You might gotta buy an airplane to go fly somewhere else. You gotta invest in figure out how you're gonna get the dope off it. I explained it to a lot of the street niggas, like, bro, your music is the dope, right? And you're gonna have to do what you do to try to sell it. You're gonna have to give some samples out for free. You're gonna have to go to these places where people really appreciate your music. Madison, Wisconsin, unfortunately, isn't like the mecca for hip hop.
Right.
So you're gonna have to go out and experiment. So I use the plug project to take a lot of my resources, right, and put them together and hopefully give them to one artist who could use them. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Prince Savage, who's from Chicago, but he moved here a couple years ago, and he was super serious about this. And I told him, I said, hey man, I got a raffle going on, and I'm doing a buy one, get one on Christmas. So I'm only selling four tickets to each artist. But if on Christmas, if you buy them, you can get eight, you know, if you buy four. He did, and he won, you know what I'm saying? Because he had more tickets in there than anybody else. So he's super serious about this. And he didn't have any merchandise. He didn't have any, you know, placement, and he didn't have any, you know, I knew that he was really serious, but he just, you know, he invested his money and he won. So I was giving away 93.1 Jams placement and interview with DJ Fusion. Shout out DJ Fusion. DJ Payne 1 got involved, and we all know about DJ Payne 1.
Shout out to Payne.
So he's giving away one free beat exclusive for them. I gave away 4 hours of studio time plus free mixes and masters on all the songs. We got a guy who does social media promotion and stuff, and he's going to be doing free social media promotion and song placement, like live mixtapes and Spinderella and things like that. I got two other podcasts interviews that he'll be getting. Shout out to Keon. He donated 12 garments. The person's logo's on it from DLK Printing. There's a couple other things that we gave too, but it's a big prize package worth like $3,500. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I just thought it was cool to like try to use my. I had all those resources. Plus, I got like a couple interviews with some guys at Capital that are willing to come out and do like some critiquing and things like that. Like, I had all these resources with all these guys that I really respect. All the people that I just named off, and they respect me too on that level. So it's like, I know that they're in positions to help out artists, and Fusion like is really into that, and so is Payne. Like, they're, people don't know, like, Payne wanted to be plugging.
Yeah, you do.
And he puts the work in too. Like, but he's like a prime example of
He don't got a plug. He don't got a right. His credentials is up. He don't have to do that, and he does it anyway. That's why I jam with them guys like that. So it was cool. Yeah, he gets a photo shoot too. Shout out 21 Images. So just a lot of things that will start an artist and give them a super head start, push and move forward, you know. And then also on my side, like, he now he set a standard for himself. So he's going to have to come hard the next time. And he's gonna have to do it again. You know what I mean? So it's a business move for both of us. You know, it really helped him out and push him forward. But it also he can see the results of what my team can do for you. You know what I'm saying? So we want to come back and jam with us because we outsource a lot. If I can't do it personally, I know that DLO can get you together. Payne One can get you together. Opal can get you together. Like I know, you know, we know people and we will outsource. It isn't always about me making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
It's about being able to problem solve. That's where businesses start to, you know, elevate on the back end. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's really what that was about, man. I was happy to do that, man. That was pretty cool. Dude was extremely excited. And that made me feel good. I'm like, all right, he's gonna go crazy.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you're doing it that way because that's one of the things that I wanted you to share with like our listeners. Because I look at you as someone who is so good at the marketing, so good at like you had merch before it was really popular, right? And your social media presence has always been there. And you're someone who's like, it's not just numbers, it's like the engagement. Like I won't say any names, but you got some die hard supporters, like legit, like they've been rocking AI stuff for decades. What are some of your best practices? Because like that's not just for music, like that will carry over to anyone who's an entrepreneur, any type of business and industry. So what are some of your best practices? And also, how do you keep up with all that social media? Before you got on, we were just talking about like we all trying to do a little bit more in the new year because it gets away from you when you're doing the work.
So I spend too much time on social media. I'll tell you that right now. I spend a lot of time on there, but it's engaging with people, right? So I try to be relatable for the most part. That's how I do it. So like, I remember people used to hit me up like, "Oh man, I thought you were going to be such a dick, and you said what's up to me." But I just thought you were going to be like, I look like a dick, like you know. But I just reach out to people. I ain't better than nobody. I'm not the, you know what I'm saying? I ain't better than nobody, and then I don't think anybody's better than me neither.
Yeah,
like about money that you got, that don't even mean nothing, you know. And I know people who got a bag, a real bag, funny. You know what I mean? I don't treat nobody different than anybody else. And so my thing was always like really being personal with people who like people call them fans, and I don't even really like to say that. I just like to say like supporters. You know what I'm saying?
I call
my supporters. So I don't want to say fan because that kind of got a weird stigma, like, oh, he's a fanboy and all this. But it's like those people are my real supporters, because without them, I'm just a regular nigga just putting out songs and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's until people start to see other people like fucking with you like that. And so it takes people who aren't like scared to say, oh, I like him. I like his music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And shout out to those people, because it's like a weird stigma on like giving somebody their flowers or giving them their credit and saying I like that. You know, and I've always been one of those people. Like I give back. Like if you took time to listen to my music and you do music, I'm check your stuff out. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, okay. Like, you know, I've always been that type of person. Like, you know, I put somebody's CD in and listen to it. Mm-hmm. I give you a play and stream. Cause I do kind of want to see, like, oh, okay, you know what's going on out here. So it's just about reaching out. We feel like the same thing with the networking thing with the people who are business people. It's the same thing with your supporters, it's customer acquisition. You got to be able to, you know, be relatable to people and make them feel comfortable. Nobody wants to spend money anywhere where they feel like weird about it. Like you got to make me feel like, I always tell people like, man, just make me feel good, and I won't have a problem. Whatever price you need, you know what I'm saying? You go to a restaurant and they talking to you nice and they feeding you, your food comes out hot and it's clean. You usually give a real good tip, you know what I mean?
For sure.
So it's that type of situation. Like you just want to be relatable and be you and be authentic and be kind to people and not try to act like you better than nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't never treated nobody like I was like better than them, even if I came off that way, because I know sometimes that confidence comes off that way, but I don't feel like I'm better than nobody else, no matter what it is. Even if you think I'm better than you or whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd never treat you like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that makes people want to be more supportive sometimes. I'm like, oh, he's a cool dude, man. He's a down to earth dude. He's just a regular guy trying to get to it. Like, I'm just a regular dude trying to take care of my kids, man. You get me? So that's why I think that's why people like to get to tap in with us, because we was close. You could come to our show. We'll pull you up on stage, pour a shot in your mouth. We like that with people. So they was like, oh, they fun. They cool. They camera us, you know? And that's kind of where I think a lot of my support, like deep support, came from, people like that.
Yeah, it's so important. Like, I feel like, especially since people have so many choices, like, you can stream anything now. You can support anybody. Now you turn around and you see something else. So I think, yeah, with that customer choice, you are absolutely right. Like, why are they choosing you and giving them a reason?
For sure.
That's what's up. I don't want people to sleep on this subscription-based studio.
Yeah, it's
genius. Because I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen anybody execute it successfully. Mm-hmm. At least in this area, except for you.
Mm-hmm. I got 6 VIP members right now. So shout out to those guys. I got 6 monthly members right now.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
It changes. It goes up and down. Some months I don't even have one, and then other months I'll have, you know.
But that's the business. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. But to be able to create the platform where it's sustainable, that's where I haven't seen people get to.
Yeah,
they've talked it. They started it for a month. I've seen them advertise for it. Never seen it again.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to give you flowers for doing that and making that a viable business move and basically giving the example, giving the blueprint.
For sure. Thank you.
Which is dope.
I suggest a lot of people trying to do it because it's something that you can count on, you know.
Right.
Anything that's what the podcast will Mark Cuban was trying to say, like the subscription base was smart because it's like it's guaranteed money, even if it's not the top dollar that you want.
Correct.
You at least can go into your books and say, okay, well, that's -900 for this month. I know that's good. You know what I mean? No matter what. Mm-hmm. And it kind of holds people accountable to get all their
information.
And then things. So if anything weird happens in here, that's your credit card on file.
Right.
You hear me?
So my question now is, how do you top that? What's next for AFGM in 2023? What does that future look like?
So I'm like I said, I'm solving problems. That's all I'm doing. So when people come in here and there's like a common problem, that's what I'm going to attack. So I noticed that a lot of people didn't have like photography or they didn't have places to shoot videos. So I started to build an infinity wall in the back. So I have like a green screen area and infinity wall. And I know that you guys, you know, stuff like that too. So I'm also going to build like a stage area where people can perform because I noticed
Nice.
I had a couple artists that wanted to like practice their performance.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. So I was like, okay, I got space to do that too. And then publishing. I started a publishing company a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
And I just like the biggest issue with every single album, they do a song and it's great. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. What are you going to do with them? They're like, put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
No, no, man. You just spent You spent $300 with me. You're gonna put this on YouTube for free.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bro. Let me show you how to get your money real quick. You hear me? You need to put your publishing together. You need to go get your ASCAP, BMI, SoundTrust. So I'm walking artists through that. That's one of my big things, right? Because it's like I don't make a lot of money doing that, but it's like the convenience store thing, like right. You go to the gas station, right? And nobody makes money off selling cigarettes. I can tell you that right now. I have a tobacco license. The tax on it is so high. You make like 13 cents off a pack of squares.
Dang.
You know, but there's a lot of people that smoke cigarettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a gas station and I got a gas station, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people who smoke cigarettes gonna go to the one that got the cigarettes at it. And then we're hoping that they get gas and they get Sprite, honey buns, and they get everything else. So that's kind of where I'm at with the publishing thing. Like, I don't really make a lot of bread off that, but I can show you how to make some money.
Right.
So you'll feel a lot more comfortable coming and spending some more money with me. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what's next for me. I'm really trying to get all my artists who come in here and record to know about publishing, distribution, SoundTrust, auditing the distribution companies and making sure you're getting all your royalties and your rights to your music. Even if it's a couple cents now, you blow up 2 years from now, you can get that already.
That's right.
I made them mistakes. I went viral in songs that I, and people were like, oh man, I know you got some money, Chaos. And I'm like, yeah. Nothing. $0. You hear me? I didn't know.
Right.
So to ask people, how should I do this? You know, I didn't want to look like I didn't know nothing. You know, so I'm putting niggas on game right away. Hey, bro, do you own this music? Do you have a distribution company? Do you have your publishing set up? Like, you know? So that's where I'm at. A lot this year, and I was a little bit last year too, but I'm really going to go hard on that. People owning their music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that the evolution of the audio engineer now, where it's not just I'm getting your song right, but I'm actually putting you on game when it comes to marketing, when it comes to your PROs, when it comes to actually the trajectory of your career?
Yeah.
Because, you know, The A&Rs are far gone.
and
has some of that development fell on the engineer or the producer now?
The producers. No, you're right. And especially people like you and me, people who like actually like, you know, have buildings and have like, I don't know, like a history with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of guys back in the day, like when we were rapping like real young, the guy, it was just like, not to be rude or anything, it was just like a white guy who went to MMI that just was like,
facts.
True.
Thanks.
Exactly who it was.
Now it's a little different. You got people who are vetted. I've been recording for 16 years. So I know certain things that a lot of people probably wouldn't know, and I feel obligated to like give that knowledge out. I don't know what it is. I just feel obligated to tell people, like, you know, you should do this. I'm not going to hide the sauce from nobody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think you're right, dude. I think that is the thing, because a lot of producers now, they got some skin in the game, and they know, they're knowledgeable. We're wearing a lot of hats. Like, you know, you go to these big name studios and there's one guy that presses the buttons, and then there's another guy that mixes, and then there's the producer, you know, but we're all three of them.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like we're all three of those people. So you start to gain different knowledges and you start to learn different things and different moves. And I hear people talking. I have a lot of famous people that come in my studio too, and I have conversations with them.
Yeah.
You know, we had NLE Chopper in here. We had Twist in here, Caskey in here, Tresh from Naughty by Nature. Right. We had a bunch of different people in our studio, and I pick brains.
Right.
That's value.
You know what I'm saying? I ask a lot of questions. So learning is everything, man. Knowledge is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. So if we got it, you know, let it go. But yeah, I think you're right. I think producers now are the new A&Rs, man, because we're the ones that has the close contact with the artists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love hearing the passion, though, man. It just you talk about how you giving back before you.
Yeah, give, that's that give back.
You know what I'm saying? Like you learn to just give first, and then everything is going to come back in return. And you care about their career, but it's almost like, you know, I don't think it's almost like you care about their actual life, their well being. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, as a person, and I think that goes a long way. You know, no matter what you're doing in business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, definitely. I see a lot of myself in artists too. Like I remember going through a lot of like the hard times and wishing that I had somebody to say,
for sure,
you go, little bro, you should do this like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and not even that people were like hiding it from you. We didn't know what we know right now, though.
No, not at all.
Like,
not
it's at all. Like the information is just right there, and a lot of people don't understand it because they don't look at this as a business. And I'm looking at it from that perspective, you know, because it's hard to do both. Like, I realized that once I became a businessman, I lost a lot of my artistry. For me, that's how it works, because I got super passionate about business.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, you got these guys who you kind of need a team. You're gonna need somebody to say, hey, you know, I can help you out on the business side. Just stay making that dope music. Like, keep your mind wrapped up and being an artist. Mm-hmm. I can help you on the back end. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously I want to be paid for my time, but I can help. I'm here to help. You know what I'm saying? If I can, you know. And if your heart's in the right place, God gonna work it out for you, man. I'm just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. Thanks.
So our final question is,
always,
you were talking about, you know, podcasts, but I'm very interested in any book recommendations, mm-hmm. any sources of knowledge that you would recommend people go check out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's helped you become a better person.
I got like 3 books I'm reading right now. I'm starting that Rick Ross book. It's How to Boss Up or something like that. But I'm super into, like I said, I'm super into like publishing and like masters and stuff like that right now, because like I said, it's obviously a big source for us to get paid. And it's something that was always kind of like over my head. I felt like growing up and doing this stuff. So I've, I'm reading the L.A. Reid book. It's called Sing to Me, I think.
Word.
Talking about all these artists and all these people that he signs, and then you can kind of get a little bit of an insight on like record deals and things like that. But those are the books that I'm reading right now. Yeah. Just me personally, the Rick Ross's new book and the L.A. Reid joint. I got those on my table right now.
Nice. I feel like you should write a book at some point, especially when you're talking about this knowledge. And personally, I've learned that book money is way bigger than music money.
We got two books published under our company, and one of them is a cookbook, but yeah.
Share that with us or with our listeners, because we would love to plug.
For sure, I wish I had. It's been a while, so I don't actually have the names with me right now, and I feel bad. I don't want to like.
No, it's all good. Just send it our way. We'll put it in the show notes.
For sure, awesome, definitely.
That's dope.
Well, man, thank you guys so much, man. This is really cool. Y'all platform was awesome. The intro was super dope too. I'm like, okay, they got all set up. It's super fire.
Yeah, man, we appreciate your time, man. Mm-hmm. I really like listening to you, man, and picking your brain, man.
Thank you.
I know the listeners are gonna appreciate it too, man.
It means a lot to me, because y'all know y'all like I've always looked up to both of y'all for real on that, especially on the music side. You know what I'm saying? When I came in, y'all was already doing the shit that I wanted to do. So it's always I always appreciate the interaction between both of y'all. That's love.
Yeah, likewise. I remember being at a showcase place, and I was like, who's the little young light skinned dude? I was like, he can spit.
I was nervous. Yeah. I was nervous. Yeah. Like, damn, what was going on?
Yeah, there's been many times where I'd be listening to something, and I'm like, man, I need to get some more energy. And I put your music on and just kind of wild out for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Just
be like, I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that.
It's always good. And yeah, we just love to see what you're doing too. Cause I mean, you have really just taken it right far and beyond. Like, you are someone who totally could have, not to say just, but just been an artist, and you still would have been legendary and successful. But to see you expanding this way, understanding the business, you're always someone like, you can't listen to your records and not know that you're intelligent as hell. Right. So just love to see, how your mind has just not only the knowledge, but like I said, the innovation, like some of that stuff is straight genius. So we love to see that and are super happy to share that with folks.
I really appreciate that. Means a lot. I thank you very much. We're just trying to keep pushing, and you know what I'm saying? This hip hop thing out here where we live at is
man.
So, for real. For real.
That chip on my shoulder, like, I'm from, like, I'm about to fuck me up out of here.
Yep.
You know? So they be trying to push us out, man. You're like, no, y'all not do like that, man.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. And I love that you kept it here. Like, you decided to build here, like, because I know you've been out of the West Coast and many other places. So I do love that you decided to build something here for the artists who are continuing to work here and for the folks coming up, because that's so important, because we've had to outsource and go other places in the past.
Facts. I always had to. I always remember being younger and like barely ever being able to find a studio to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to Atlanta for a little while, I was going to do work with like Epic Records. And then I was like, I miss my kids, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know so many out there. It's just like, it doesn't matter as much. Everybody's rapping and stuff. Like out here, it mattered so much more, because people just were like, dang. They come in here like, oh my God, I didn't even know this was here. There's a million of these in Atlanta, though.
Right.
They might not do it like how I do it, but it just means it's just more important here, because it's needed so much more. You feel me? Like, we don't have that. So it's like, it means more to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. You taking interns, man?
I am.
Good. We'll shoot your shot right now, just in case we got some youngins listening.
So you got, but when, if you bring your ass up in here, Let me warn you first. I'm on your heels, man. yeah, you gonna let you come in here and jam with me. I'm gonna teach you about business too, because that's one of my biggest things. Is like, you know, our client base is a little rougher than some other people's are. That's three niggas coming in here who wanna act up, and you gotta. I don't really have those problems because I demand a certain type of respect. I let people know how it's gonna be right away. And I know I get a lot of interns in here who get a little nervous. And then they be like, oh, man. I be like, oh, stand on their neck. Tell them they can't bring no guns or nothing here. We don't right. You got to tell them, man. Otherwise, they're going to do whatever they want to do.
Right. Yeah.
And I know that because I used to be that guy. People didn't use to or me. Boy, AFGM, what? No, it's 20 of them niggas. They used to hate recording us. Well, I be in there smoking weed and all. They used to be like, oh. I could tell, like, I used to be so annoying. I know they used to hate recording me, man. Because I used to just be, you know, and I'm so serious about what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, put that right there. Do this right here. And then I got 10 of my guys in the back. I hate when people do that. Now that I'm an engineer, I want to call all my old engineers and be like, man, I'm sorry, bro, because I know they used to record me, man. Because I hate when they got like four dudes behind me and they talking and then they get in the booth and he's trying to tell me and they trying to say, hey, tell them to pause it right there and put a drop. I'm like, shut up. I can't even hear him.
You know? I see the food in the back. You know what I'm saying? Right. Give me some food.
That's what's up. Man, let's plug that website. Number one, make sure y'all hit the website, afgmmediagroup.com. Is there going to be another one of those plugs coming up soon?
Yes. So I'm going to give it like, I'm going to do it like every season or so.
Okay.
I'll do like four a year.
Oh, dope.
So we get some new things in there and a chance to showcase different businesses.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if anybody ever got some, like maybe get you guys involved on the next one and give out a podcast interview or something.
Oh,
you know,
For sure. That'd be dope.
Absolutely. That'd be super dope. And just a way to showcase other people, because this is my hope is that, you know, once they jam with the people that were involved in it, they can continue to do business from there forward, you know?
Right.
And then I you know, stand my hands out of the way, and they can, you know, they can reach out to you guys if they need anything. Reach out to Radio 22, whatever, and you guys can have a business relationship on that end and stuff like that too. So it should work out for both parties. But yeah, I plan on doing another one pretty soon here. Probably we're getting ready to set it up. So two, three months, we'll get it together.
Dope. Nice. That's what's up. So folks got no excuse not to reach out. We got the website up. We got the Facebook and IG. You know, they doing plugs every quarter. They got the subscription. So you got to get involved with that. You taking more clients for the subscription. You getting catering?
From black owned business.
We got a legit menu. You come in here, we got the little menus in here, so you can see what days they serve and what foods. And we got pizzas in here all the time. So we serve got the little $8-9 pizzas in here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just try to make it simple and easy for you. You know, we got the snack machine in the back, and you know, all that good stuff. So
it worked for Google. It'll work for you. Keep them happy. Keep them in the building.
Okay.
You're going to get a slide in there after a little bit.
Okay.
Man, that's what's up. So make sure y'all check out the website. Make sure y'all hit them up on Facebook and IG. If you're young, up and coming, looking for an internship, yo, that's a great place to be at. You learn the full gamut, not just the engineering side, but you learn the business side, and that's what'll make you dangerous.
Definitely.
So, man, we appreciate you coming on and being a part of this and joining us today.
Thank you very much,
man. I know.
Have fun.
I know folks learned a lot. For those that are listening, yo, I hope you all enjoyed it. If y'all trying to look for the visual. Yo, we got the visual up at youtube.com/radio22. If you got your Spotify, all the videos are now on Spotify as well. So if you like to see it, yo, head over to Spotify, head over to YouTube. Make sure to follow us on our social media, IG, actually BLK, Currency, BLK Currency Podcast, and Facebook BLK Currency Podcast. And you can always catch it on the myradio22.com/BLK Currency Podcast. Yo, bro, let's connect on the plug. Whenever you're ready and whatever role that we can play, let us know. Sure. We'll be happy to be involved in that and help with what you got going on.
Thank you guys so much for the platform and everything. And anytime y'all need anything from me, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. You know, it's all love my way for whatever, whenever. So
That's what's up. All right, y'all. To our listeners, we appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
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 Ain't you sick of giving me your money?
Oh, it's... Oh, oh. I know he didn't do it, baby.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Where you going?
Now I'm about to go make these trouble.